Hey everybody, welcome to the TFD Performance Podcast. We are going to get through quite a lot in a short amount of time today. So Geordie and myself are going to be touching on half and full marathon nutrition. Geordie, hello, welcome. I didn't introduce myself today. Are you proud of me?
Yeah, that was a very efficient introduction. But like you said, lots of information to go through. We're going to cram as much as we can in the next 20 minutes. So let's dive straight into it.
Definitely. I think the only logical approach to this podcast is doing it as if you were doing a run. So kind of starting beginning to end. So what you should do before you go for that run, what you're doing during, what you're doing at the end. Obviously, we're covering full and half marathon now. I know they are totally different distances. But at the end of the day, whether it's a 5K, 10K, 21K, 42K, everything we talk about in this podcast today, you should have started doing yesterday so that you are prepared for the race. It might not even be a race. Maybe you've just set yourself a goal that you want to run a full marathon. So it doesn't need to be a race. We're more so talking about the distances. But yeah, like I said, it's really important to start practicing these types of things in training. One differential kind of thing I reckon though, Geordie, between the half and the full marathon is that there is nowhere to hide in the full marathon when it comes to nutrition and hydration. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like purely because of the distance, everyone's going to be different between how they run this. Like if you're really sending a half marathon, you could be done in an hour, hour 15 or so if you're really going. With a marathon, even if you're really sending that, a good time is, you know, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. So regardless, you can't get away with not having your nutrition. Maybe if you're a very, very, very experienced runner for the half marathon, you could get away with it. I would not recommend that at all, but you could get away with it. Full marathon, absolutely not. I've never met an elite level runner or marathoner that doesn't do anything with their nutrition. Everyone has it very, very dialed in. Just for the pure fact, you have to perform at your best in a full marathon.
Definitely, yeah. And something that I talk to a lot of my guys about, obviously I work with like casual to elite, you know, international kind of ultra runners. And pretty much even what I say to them is just because you can go for 10Ks, 20Ks without eating doesn't mean that you should. Everybody listening to this podcast is going to be at different levels. Like Geordie said, a half marathon might take you an hour. For other people, it might take 3 hours. So I think something to note with regards to your pre and your intra-run nutrition is that the amount that you consume will ultimately be dictated by, of course, your performance and kind of your goals, but ultimately how long that run is going to take you. So I think we'll get into it starting with pre-run nutrition. Like I said, just because you can run 10Ks, 20Ks without eating doesn't mean that you should. I am a strong, firm believer in eating before a run. I am guilty sometimes, you know, if it's just a really easy run, okay, maybe I won't eat, but I'll still get up, have some electrolytes, have some Train-Aid, and go. So I think when it comes to kind of pre-training nutrition, this is a really good chance for you to start training your gut. There's going to be people out there like, oh, I just can't eat before a run. Wrong. You definitely can. You just need to kind of suck it up, get over it, have something small. You know, it could just be one rice cake with a little bit of honey. Could be a quarter of a banana. It's about kind of implementing those habits early on, I think, in terms of introducing some food before you head out for a run. Obviously, when we're talking about pre-run nutrition, we want to keep it as simple as possible. And what that means is really focusing on your simple, fast digesting carbohydrates. An example of that is something like white bread over whole grain bread, fruit, fresh fruit or dried fruit. An LCM bar, an Uncle Toby's muesli bar, even an energy gel. So that's what we classify as simple carbohydrates. And just so that you understand the difference, a complex carbohydrate, which we want to avoid before training, is something like sweet potato with the skin on, like multigrain bread, multigrain pasta, because yes, of course, these foods are healthy, but they're higher in fiber, which means they're going to take a longer time to digest. And those are also the types of foods that can lead to needing to stop for the toilet or worse. So we want to try and avoid those, which means high carbohydrate, low fiber for that exact reason. Also pretty low fat as well. If it's a short run, fat isn't really going to be getting used too much. It's just going to slow down the digestion and absorption of carbohydrates. So, okay, what about timing? Again, if you're trying to fit in a big run before you go to work, I can appreciate that you're probably not going to have a lot of time, but you don't need too much time. You know, if you can even just get in something small, 15 minutes before you head out for a run is going to be great, right? So when we kind of talk about, I guess, a pre-run snack, you know, we're looking for, say, 15 to 60 minutes before a run. Could be something like honey on toast, a banana, a little bit of granola, maybe a Clif bar, something like that. So something, again, high carbohydrate, low fat, low fiber. But if you've got a bit longer before a run, say, you know, you wake up, you've got got time to have breakfast and you've got about 2 hours or so before you head out for a run, that's when you can go for more of a meal. So say something like Weet-Bix with fruit and yogurt, maybe a little bit of nut butter, or maybe oatmeal is a good one. If it's around lunchtime, maybe some lean chicken and some white rice or something. But ultimately, the shorter time you have before a run, I guess the smaller you want that snack to be. And just to kind of put that into practice, what I do with a lot of my athletes, even myself, is say, I'm going for a long run, I'll get up, I'll have a breakfast 2 hours beforehand. For example, my go-to would probably be Weet-Bix, a bit of soy milk, some berries, and some peanut butter, and maybe some honey. And then about 30 minutes before I start, especially on race day, I'll have a bit of a primer. So again, that's the simple carb. So I might have a gel or an LCM bar or maybe some dried mango, and then I'm good to go. So again, just kind of highlighting the difference in how you should kind of source those pre-run nutrition snacks. Obviously, hydration is a big one as well. So starting with some sort of fluids in your body, obviously electrolytes are going to help further your hydration. So don't just get out there, have your LCM bar and leave. Make sure that you are getting some fluids in. Obviously, we love Train Aid. Geordie, what's your routine? Because I know people think it's quite controversial, but you always post, hydrate before you caffeinate. So I guess, what's your pre-run morning ritual?
Yeah, I train really early in the mornings, and I'm going to answer this question because I can already hear the people through the podcast thinking, oh, but I get up so early and I want to do my workouts fasted. I totally get that. I get up early, and I probably get up earlier than a lot more than you guys listening here. And that's not me flexing on you guys. I've just done it for years. I get up anywhere between 3:30 and 4. I just have for the last 10, 15 years of my life. And it's something you've just got to accept that if you want to perform as best as you can, you've got to learn how to fuel here. You've got to learn how to fuel before, no matter what time you wake up. And the reason for that is because when you wake up, if you're being responsible as an athlete, you've just had 8 hours sleep the night before. You've probably not got up and zombie walked and slept to the fridge and put in a bunch of food or a bunch of fluid while you're asleep. You're asleep in deep sleep. So you're doing big, heavy breaths, which means you were losing fluid and you weren't replacing any fuel. So your body was still burning fuel over that night to recover and to prime your body for the morning. But that means you wake up, you're dehydrated, and you're depleted. So you've used all your liver glycogen overnight to keep your body running, and then you've lost fluid overnight through your breath. So it's very, very important when you wake up. I say to everyone, make sure you caffeinate before you hydrate. So you rehydrate the fluid that you lost because you're about to go out for a run. No matter how short it is, you're going to lose further fluid. We know the performance decrements of being dehydrated. So before you put your caffeine in, get your electrolytes, get your water, put that in. And then you want to get your blood sugars back up, because even if you are going on a low and slow run, you're still going to be using carbohydrates. And as Loz said, come race day, you're going to have to fuel beforehand. So you may as well start practicing now and getting these good habits in. And even if you're someone, you're like, I don't want to go overboard on the calories, I guarantee you're not eating enough calories beforehand that's going to throw you out of a deficit or throw you 2 bar into a calorie surplus. So wake up, hydrate, then have your coffee, and then look to get those simple digesting carbohydrates so you can put your blood sugars back up so you've got immediate energy there for your run. A couple of things that I do. I've got probably three routines or three strategies I'll use. The first one, say I'll use for a bigger, longer run, I try to get in plus 90 grams of carbohydrates, is I'll just get something very, very light, so low volume and very, very high carbs. So I usually do a chocolate chip muffin, which has about 50 grams of carbs in there. And then I couple that with a sports drink, which has about another 40 grams in there. So just in those two things, that's 600 mils of fluid, which I get electrolytes in, which I add additional electrolytes. I get simple digesting carbs. And then with a muffin that weighs about 45, 50 grams, not that much, I get 50 grams of carbs in there. So it's a very, very light meal on your stomach. The other one that I'll do if I'm getting ready for a race or I need to, like Loz said, I've got a bit more time, I'll do Weet-Bix, berries, banana, creamed honey, a little bit of maple syrup. I like mixing them so I can get some additional carbohydrates in there. And then I'll have my electrolytes on the side. And that's a really, really good meal if I've got a little bit more time, or if I'm just trying to get, say, about 30 to 45 grams, say if it's a shorter run, if it's an hour, hour and a half, then I go to my best go-to is 2 to 3 pikelets with a creamed honey. And if I need to bump up the carbs, I'll put a banana on top of that. So very, very simple, options there that all kind of serve their own purpose depending on what I'm trying to do.
I don't think I ever had creamed honey until we had the TFD retreat last year, and we had a big jar of it on the table, and I had that before I did my first 30K run, and it's actually pretty elite. I think I might need to go and get some more because yeah, delicious. But yeah, I reckon my go-to for a shorter run, Geordie, is probably similar. Just like, I don't do pikelets because I'm celiac and I've got limited choices, but white rice cakes with Nutella and jam. And I used to cringe at the thought of mixing Nutella and jam together. I'm always a peanut butter and jam person, but Nutella and jam, extra calories, extra sugar. That's probably my go-to. But yeah, in addition to that, I guess before we move on to intra-run nutrition, something else, you know, especially for those of you training for that full marathon, again, comes into race day, but what you should be doing, especially for those long runs on the weekend, is you can actually simulate a bit of a carb load. Obviously, we want to do this before a race to really prime up your muscle glycogen stores. What they do is ultimately that reserve fuel tank for your race. So something that I did in my marathon block, and I was probably inspired by you, Geordie, is actually, you know, on the Friday, especially before my long run on the Saturday, I'd really increase my carbohydrate intake, trying to aim for about 10 grams of carbs per kilogram of body weight. In training, I would just do one day, but before a race, you kind of want to be doing, you know, anywhere from 36, 48 hours, 3 days if you really want to go all out on the carbs. But I find that 2 days is pretty good because even though it sounds amazing, wow, I can eat all of these carbohydrates, it's actually really hard and it can be pretty uncomfortable. So for me, 2 days is enough. So yeah, what that does is obviously, yes, it helps your performance. But again, if you're someone that maybe doesn't actually consume a lot of carbohydrates in your diet, going from that to a carb load is going to be a total shock to the system, right? So again, it comes back to training your body to be more efficient at digesting and storing carbohydrates, so that you're not feeling super heavy and weighed down on the race.
Yeah, that's super important. And I guess why we're talking about carbohydrates so much, you need to understand if you're running a half marathon and a marathon, you're probably sending it the whole way. You're probably running at a very, very high intensity. And when we exercise and run at an intensity higher than 60% of our VO2 max, which if you've done running for a while, most of your sessions are going to be above that. You are going to be using predominantly carbohydrate as your main fuel source. That's why we bang on about getting these carbohydrates in because your body burns so much of them. And it's so important what Loz is saying, getting used to this carb load. I do it when I'm in prep every Friday. I make sure I practice it. And then my Saturday long run, make sure I'm fully glycogen loaded because I know the consequences of not being glycogen loaded when I'm out in a race or when I'm in a long run training session. And it's horrible. If you've ever heard the term hitting the wall is when you essentially run out of muscle glycogen. And it's the most horrible feeling because you can't push your body into that higher intensity because you just don't have the fuel to do so. And that's what we're trying to do when we're doing a carb load is we're trying to top up our muscle glycogen. So when we go out for our half marathon or our marathon and we absolutely start sending it and we start burning that fuel source, it's going to go low, but we need to make sure we're starting from the highest point so we can keep that intensity for as long as we can so we can hit our goal time. Like Loz said, it's very, very difficult doing a carb load. Sounds great in theory, but it's very, very hard. But come race week, you need to have practiced that time and time over again. So you know every single meal that you're going to eat, you know that it hits your numbers. And more importantly, you know it feels good come race day. And that you can pull it off. So practicing your carb load all throughout your training camp is so important.
Thanks, Geordie. Yeah, that's a good point to end on. And I think we'll kind of shuffle onto the intra-run nutrition now. And I think this is where most people get confused, get overwhelmed. And I totally understand this is probably the most complicated part of those longer distance runs. But in the interest of time, we're going to try and simplify it as much as possible so that you can take some key points away from this podcast and apply it to your training. And like we mentioned at the beginning as well, you know, how much, you know, food and fluid you're consuming during a run is going to be largely dictated by the amount of time you're running for. Obviously, we can't give our individual kind of recommendations on this podcast, but if you're training for half and full marathons, I'd probably say that for your runs, you should probably be aiming to consume around 60 to 90 grams of carbohydrates per hour. Now, obviously, there's going to be people that are going to sit towards the lower end, people that are going to exceed that. But for the vast majority of people, I'd say that that's a pretty good range to be in. Obviously, we've got to consider hydration as well. Obviously, there's people out there that will be getting all of their carbohydrates from foods or gels or product, sorry, sports bars. But then there's also people that prefer to only get these things in through liquids. So I think when it comes to hydration, that is a highly individualized one. It's pretty easy to give more general carbohydrate recommendations, I would say, than hydration. But I guess depending on your sweat rate, you know, it could be anywhere from 500 mils to 1.5 liters of fluid an hour you might need to match your sweat losses, as well as sodium. Obviously, everybody has a very different sweat concentration of sodium or salt. Sodium is salt. Like we know, Geordie, you're an insane sweater. Myself, I'm not a very heavy sweater. So if we were to test both of ourselves as an example, we'd have vastly different fluid and electrolyte kind of losses throughout a race. So that's a bit more of an individual one. But just kind of touching back on the carbohydrates, I think with regards to, say, achieving that 60 to 90 grams of carbs an hour, you want to be getting that from an efficient source. So obviously go-to products are gels, chews, you know, maybe Nutella sandwiches, dried fruit, bananas. An easy one that I know a lot of my athletes do. And for myself as well, when it comes to running, I love liquid carbs, honestly, when I'm running. So I like to do, you know, Train Aid, and obviously some carb powder is probably my go-to with some gels. It's an easy way to kind of stay on top of your fueling. You might want to have something every 20 minutes or every 30 minutes. But the more you break it down, you know, the less you're having to put into the system at once. So obviously you can find your own groove with regards to timing. If you're doing a registered event, obviously there's going to be aid stations. They might have stuff available for you. I'm a huge fan of taking my own, but again, right, intra-run nutrition. If you've got a plan, you can kind of account for that with the aid stations or whatever the races are providing. With the hydration and electrolytes, Geordie, I know obviously we don't have a lot of time, but you have had, I think, a bit of a journey, right, in terms of trying to find out, I guess, what's the optimal amount for you. Do you think that you've found it yet?
I think I've definitely found it for me for sure. That was the biggest obstacle for my running, my long distance running. To be honest, I think whenever I do half marathon distance, I'm pretty good with it. Marathon distance, I can get away. It's just short enough that I can get away with it. Anything longer than 5, 6 hours out on the trail, I have to re be really dialed in. The reason for that, and I'll save you guys, the listeners, a whole lot of trouble when it comes to figuring out how to do this for yourself. You need to understand that there's two types of sweaters when it comes to runners. There's people like Loz who are really low sweaters, and then there's people like me that are really high sweaters. And you can't really use the same principles for both of us because what happens as we continue to sweat and as we continue to lose electrolytes through that sweat, our blood chemistry changes in certain ways. When we come to marathon running, if you read about marathon running and think the bad things that can happen, a lot of the literature will talk about this condition called hyponatremia, which is low blood sodium. And you hear this, unfortunately, people have died in marathon races because of this condition. What it is essentially is that they're drinking too much plain water during this race and they're drinking more than what they're actually losing. And then what that causes to happen is they essentially dilute their cells. And it causes them to pass out, go into a coma, have seizures, and potentially die. And it's because they're diluting the salt in their blood, which causes the cells in their body to also dilute and swell. It's a very, very fatal condition if not left treated. But again, that's a consequence of people who are more like you, Loz, where they're low sweaters, and there's a probably a good chance that you're actually going to meet your sweat needs with your intake. So if you're only losing 300, 400 mils an hour, it's very easy to hit that by only grabbing a couple of cups on the tables running past. So for you guys, you need to make sure that not only are you replacing that water, you need to be getting in the electrolytes. So if Loz were to test and we found out that Loz lost 300 mils of water, but also 500 milligrams of sodium, I would need Loz to replace 300 mils of water plus the 500 milligrams of sodium. Whereas for someone like me, where I sweat something crazy, like 2 liters per hour, there's no way I can physically stomach that in a marathon. So if I'm grabbing a few cups, maybe I can aim to get half of that in with a liter. And that's still a lot to get in for someone who's running at that pace. So, but then that means that my approach is going to be different. I can't then replace all of the sodium because I'm not replacing all of the fluid. If everyone is following along with me, hopefully that kind of makes a bit of a light bulb moment. So for me, I would have a completely different approach where I would have a less electrolyte heavy strategy, but then focus on getting a certain amount of fluid and making sure I can keep my carbs up so I can keep going. Like Loz said, that's a very, very individualized approach. And if you are a heavy sweater and you're struggling in these races, I couldn't encourage you more to reach out to someone to figure this out, because that was the single-handed biggest challenge that I had to get through any of these running events.
Yeah, and we obviously always bang on about carbs, 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 carbs during your run. But when you hear what you just said, I almost feel like hydration is more important than the fueling. Because people even say, right, if you're lost in a desert with no supplies, you'll die from dehydration before you will, running out of energy, right? Because at the end of the day, if we have nothing there, our body can tap into that muscle glycogen, liver glycogen, body fat. We've got thousands of grams of energy in our body fat. So, we will literally die of dehydration before we will of fuel. So I think that that should reinforce how important your intra-run hydration is. There are probably some pretty good points. And I think before we do move on, for those of you thinking, wow, 60 to 90 grams of carbs an hour is a lot. I think something that I've used to get across to my athletes is that, yes, what you fuel with during your run is helping you in that exact moment. It's helping your performance. What a lot of people don't realize is that fueling your run also helps with your recovery afterwards. Now, if you have a heavy training schedule, you're running back-to-back days, you want to be optimizing your recovery. And we know from studies that higher carbohydrate intake, so of around 120 grams, which yes, is a lot, actually shows less signs of muscle breakdown in those athletes, which means better recovery and less, muscle damage, risk of injury, those types of things. So when you're thinking, oh, I probably don't need that extra gel this hour, think about future you and how you're going to recover from that run, because that is really important. And I know for a fact when I did my marathon block, if there were runs where I skimped on my nutrition, I was struggling to walk the next day. Whereas I remember vividly my 32K run, longest run in my prep, I fueled so well for that. And I actually felt really good the day after. And I 100% attribute that to my nutrition. So yes, hydration and nutrition, super important. But we will quickly wrap up in terms of post-run nutrition. So we all know protein is important after exercise, of course, but for runners, carbohydrates are almost just as, if not more important in the recovery window, because like Geordie mentioned, we are using muscle glycogen. So we need to refuel and make sure that our muscle glycogen stores are ready to go for our next run in a day's time or in 2 days' time. So obviously we want to replace carbohydrates so that we can refill those muscle glycogen stores. We want to consume protein to help with that muscle glycogen reloading, because carbohydrates and protein actually work really well together to make that process more efficient. And we also want to obviously support our muscle mass development, muscle protein synthesis, aka muscle building. We want to repair that, and we want to rehydrate. Like Geordie said, chances are you've lost quite a lot of fluid and electrolytes during that run. We always say kind of aim to replace about 125 to 150% of what you lost during that session. I feel like it's hard to explain verbally, but if you go and look at our Instagram accounts, scroll down, you'll see a post about how to calculate your fluid requirements after exercise. I highly encourage people to get around that. But if you're looking for some numbers, anywhere around, say, 30 grams of protein with about 1 gram of carbohydrates per kilogram of your body weight is a really good place to start. You might be thinking, well, that sounds great, but I really struggle to eat after a run. That's really normal. Low appetite after running can occur from a couple of things. A big one is the hormonal fluctuations. So when we're exercising, hormones are doing all different things while we're running. That has a huge impact on how our appetite is after a race or after a training session. Increased blood flow to the muscles as well. So it's a known fact that when you are exercising, blood flow isn't hanging around your stomach waiting to digest breakfast. It's out there pumping in your quads, pumping in your calves, helping you to keep running. So we've got less blood flow in the stomach, which again kind of makes the body think, well, I'm not really quite ready to digest food yet. So naturally, that will lower your appetite. Increased core body temperature as well can also impact our appetite or our desire to eat. And if we kind of bring it back to what Geordie just mentioned, hydration is actually something that can lead to overheating in the first place. So it kind of goes back to what you're doing before and during your run, again, is going to impact your recovery. So we want to try and obviously optimize our recovery window by eating. So even if you have a poor appetite, I know I'm saying this to you now, I experience it all the time, especially after like a half Ironman, I had the worst appetite. And you think, oh my God, when I finish this race, all I'm going to do is smash a burger and a nice ginger beer. And I can confirm that neither of those things happened. But what you need to do is you need to just get in what you can. I think liquids are always a good option. So whether it's a chocolate milk, it's a fruit juice, it's a can of Coke, it's Gatorade, it's whatever. Ultimately, you want to try and kickstart that process, and liquids require a lot less digestion than solid foods do. So typically are going to be tolerated if you've got a bit of a funky appetite after a race. Something else to do is going for smaller, more frequent meals. So instead of sitting down to a steak and veg meal, maybe just have a peanut butter sandwich first, and then go and get some sushi, and then have some yogurt. So just like feed it into your body in smaller portions so that you're not overwhelming the digestive system while you're still waiting for those hormones to come back to baseline and for that blood flow to return to the gut. So there are probably a few things. Geordie, what about you? Do you kind of experience that as well, that poor appetite after a run?
Yeah, after my last ultra, I don't think I ate properly for probably 2 or 3 days. And I remember I was just pretty much just drinking chocolate milk or getting smoothies. The next morning, we all went to breakfast and I literally just got a smoothie instead and had it for 10 minutes. You know, you got to have food. You know, you need to refuel and rehydrate and everything. But like I said, your hormones are so out of whack. Your nervous system is so shot. And the blood is just in all the wrong places. So, yeah, it's the last thing. But you do need to prioritize that. Loz, what would be any other considerations that you would give the listeners when it comes to actual race day?
Yeah, for sure. I think obviously everything we spoke about is important, but I guess another thing that a lot of people probably overlook is actually just looking at your course ahead of, like, look at the event details ahead of the race, find out where the aid stations are, what are they offering, how far apart are they, does that fit into your own nutrition plan or not? If you're someone that's totally in the zone and kind of forgets to eat, set auto reminders on your watch. You can set them to a whatever time you want. I know on my bike computer, I set it every 28 minutes. So I've at least had something by the 30th minute. Are you going to take a run belt, taking a handheld bottle? Again, that choice is probably going to be influenced by what's available at the aid stations. And again, stick to the plan if you can, but also you need to accept that things might go wrong. You might feel sick. It might be hotter than you planned for. Maybe the aid station ran out of Gatorade 5Ks in and you've got nothing else. Obviously, stuff happens that you can't plan for, but control what you can control. Give yourself a good plan. Know what you're doing. Know when you're going to be eating, what you're going to be drinking, and try and set yourself up for success by controlling the controllables. And whatever happens, that's out of your control. It's not your fault. Just kind of got to deal with the punches, I think.
Yeah, and I'm going to give some numbers because I know people listening to this are going to go, yeah, but what's the best diet that I can be eating as a runner as I'm getting ready for my first half marathon and full marathon? So I'm going to give you some numbers if you want to do some quick math listening. And if you guys want to refine this in, feel free to reach out to us. But an easy equation that I say to people is just take your body weight and times it by 45. And that should be your baseline number of calories that you should be aiming for. And you might look at that number and go, oh, wow, that's quite high. You need to remember you're training for a half marathon or a full marathon. Like you're putting your body through a lot of stress. You need a lot of extra calories to make sure that you're recovering and performing as best as you can. So 45 times your body weight. I often say make sure that 50% of those calories go to carbohydrates. Make sure you've got 30% of it going to fat, good, nice, healthy fats, and then 20% going to protein. That's going to give you a pretty high, consistent protein number. But like Loz said, protein is really, really important, especially while you're doing this type of activity, to make sure you're maintaining your lean mass. So quickly recapping that, 45 times your body weight, 50% of your calories go to carbohydrates, 30% to fat, 20% to protein. That's a really, really good solid spot to start if you're thinking about where do I even start with my nutrition for this training.
Awesome. And yeah, if you do that and you still have no idea what you're doing, obviously that's what we're here for. So don't be shy. Reach out to Geordie or myself on Instagram or via email. We'd love to help you. But Geordie, I think that's all we've got time for now. And yeah, I'm sure we'll cover something else great next time.
All right. Thank you, Loz.
Thank you.